Welcome to the Central Baptist Church Victoria podcast. This month, we're exploring a special series called Made on Purpose, for a Purpose, where we uncover how God intentionally created each of us for His unique mission, a mission that includes sharing the hope of the gospel with the world. Join us as we discover what it means to live out our God-given purpose in everyday life. And now, here's today's message.
Our scripture reading this morning is found on Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. If you're able, please open your Bible or follow along on the words on the screen. At the end of the reading, I will say, "This is the word of the Lord." Please respond with, "Thanks be to God." Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and they talked and discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and walked along them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said. But they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they are going, Jesus continued on, as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of the Lord.
Hello again. Good morning. What a delight to be here with you all 4 Sundays in a row, and you kept coming back. Shocking, shocking. I want to give a big shout out to the team that makes Sunday mornings happen. Amen. Do you notice the team? There's people trying to hide behind cameras. Beautiful, amazing people. There's people in a little booth up there. There's somebody named Tina who, no matter what happens, she can pull it all together again. So there's lots of stories behind the scenes every Sunday morning. And Corey and Aiden, you guys, just thank you for the team. Let's thank our team for making it possible for us to be here. So in an Ironman triathlon, there are 3 stages, the swim, the bike, and the run. But today, we run across the finish line as far as Missions Month is concerned. And next Sunday, we're going to start hearing about the great missional adventure. Can you all say that word? Adventure. What are the first 6 letters of that word? Boom. Very quick. Some of you got that very quickly. Others of you were like, Advent. That's what we're starting next week, and we're celebrating looking forward with great expectancy to what God is going to do. Not expectations, because that's putting God in a box. God can do what God wants to do, and God wants to do a special work in our lives. So once again, my name is Jordan Rendell, and I'm not one of the pastors here, but I am one of the ministers, and so are you. As usual, let's do a bit of a review of our past three Sundays.
Previously, on Made on Purpose for a Purpose.
Thank you, Nick. He does that so well. We were going to do a Scottish version of that this morning to honor our dear passed away brother, Alex Leach. He is in a much better place, looking down on us and celebrating that he's directly with his Savior and Lord and Master. But yes, we are indeed made on purpose for a purpose. And that purpose is mission. On our first Sunday, we talked about Peter being baptized. Well, not exactly, but in a manner of speaking, he was. He was rescued out of the water from death to life, just like today's baptism. And by the way, anytime there's a baptismal service, we've already had church. Watching everything that happens in that tank, that is a summative statement about Christianity. We go under the water signifying death, and then we're raised up signifying the resurrection by the power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody in this old Baptist church excited about the Holy Spirit? Okay, very good. I'm just checking. Just checking. Sometimes we think he's just a retired author, but he's much more than that. As we wrap up our missions month, may I suggest that this Sunday is, in a manner of speaking, Resurrection Sunday. So just quick review again. We talked about walking on water. We talked about walking together. We talked about walking generously. And today we're talking about walking on. And what I mean by that is walking on with stamina. I mentioned Iron Man earlier. And we can have stamina on mission in life because the resurrected living Christ has called us to walk with him through the wind, through the waves, over our fears, for the sake of mission, for the sake of our friends who may not yet know the joy of surrendering their lives to Jesus. Now, I hope you notice I have Jolynn up here with me because I need help. Anybody here ever need help? It's good to have helpers, people who can come alongside. And we're going to review very quickly some of the illustrations we've had during the last 3 weeks. I hope you noticed that every Sunday we did something with our hands. Can everybody give me a little hand wave? So that's good. You're just warming them up because we're going to go real fast. Jolynn's very good at this. She's a good teacher. So the first one, we talked about, Lord, save me. So we extend our hands, extend your hand up, and Jesus reaches down and grabs your hand. Isn't that an amazing thought that the God of the universe reaches down and saves us? We talked about clenched fists. Can everybody do this? Do you remember that? When we talked about conflict and relationships and sometimes, but you can't hold hands like this. You got to hold hands like this. And you can't receive from God unless there's a little bit of this going on. And here we go. I want to see if we can do a speed acronym. We're going through the word together. You remember that word? So get your hands warmed up. Jolynn, help me out. The T
is for talk.
T is for talk. The O is for opportunities. The G
is for grief.
That's right. And the E is for emotions. Anybody ever seen anybody sitting like that? Sometimes we get like that when it comes to mission. The next T is time to reflect, to think and reflect. The H is to hold on to the things we know for sure. The E is to engage with the hope that God is providing for us. And it's the antithesis, remember this, to the word estrangement. God isn't very excited about estrangement. We need to break through. And the last, the R, is for
rest,
not right now. You need to stay awake and stay alive with me as we go through this. And then we talked about, if you're a business person, you know that one of the most important things in business is you have to have cash flow. But in the kingdom of God, we need, let's see it, blessings flow. We need to be funnels of God's grace. Again, I wish I could take a photo of a Fellowship Baptist Church. Last week, I had dinner in Guelph, Ontario with the president of the Fellowship of Evangelical Baptist Churches. He would have been delighted to see us with our hands up serving as funnels of grace. And then the last thing was, you remember the little boy in the candy shop? The man opened the candy jar, and the boy refused to put his hand in because, Mommy, his hands are bigger than mine. And the man reached in and gave him a big handful of candy. He stuffed his pockets, and then he shared it with his mom. God has so much for us to receive. Now, somebody else has noticed that every session we've done, I do something with hats. In fact, some of you come to me earlier before the service starts and say, what hat are you going to use today? So we're going to do a quick review of the hats. We're going to remember a very sad moment. In fact, it was really sad because it was just the night before that they lost the World Series. It was very hard. But we were talking about walking through storms, walking in tough situations. God still loves the Toronto Blue Jays, right? So even in the storms, God is there for us. So that was the first hat. And then we talked about, I had a police hat. Last time I had a Sanitz police. This is a Rijkspolizei hat. Who knows what country that's from? Holland. It's from the Netherlands. So that hat is just a reminder that we have a great commission. That when Jesus tells us to go, it's not, our response isn't, well, when I get around to it. Our response is, yes, sir. Because let me see if you remember this phrase. The great commission is not the great suggestion. Very good. Tina remembers these things. The next one, we talked about a bike helmet. Some of you asked me what it's worth. I will tell you personally and privately after. But it was a lavish and extravagant gift after my brain surgeries in Abu Dhabi. A beautiful couple paid an extravagant amount of money for this helmet so that my head could be protected when I do Ironman. And we were reminded God's lavish and extravagant gifts to us prompt us to do five things in response. We're back to the hands. Everybody hold up your hand. See if you can remember it with me. I want to hear you, Central Baptist. Time, talent, treasure, testimony. Remember, it's this finger. You got to know which fingers you're using. This finger is, where does my life point? As people look at us, as people look at our church, do they say they're pointing to God? And the last one, who remembers what it was? The temple or the tent. We look after our bodies. Very, very, very important. And today's hat. Are you ready for this one? You haven't seen this one before. Viva Colombia! Maria, pues hombre, los colombianos! Yeah, there's a few Colombians in the back, so they're really happy right now. That is a very Colombian hat. When I spoke in Cincelejo to that big group of 1,500 teenagers, they gave me this hat. It actually has my name in it. How cool is that? Again, lavish and extravagant. But why do I bring this back? Why do I mention this hat this day? Because full circle back to sermon number one, you remember the little 8-year-old boy who stood out in a coffee field in Medellin, Colombia, and said, why am I here? That was me. And so this is a reminder for me that that's where it all started. And he called me to serve all over Latin America, all over the world, and to serve today here in this church. So I want to answer this question. Thank you, JoLynn. Let's have a round of applause for JoLynn. We're very grateful for her. Just leave that one there. Perfect. So I want to answer that question for all of us here in this service, this last session we have together. Why am I here? It's kind of an interesting question. I've actually asked this question of missiologists, theologians. Many of us know our dear, dear departed brother, Don Richardson, who is part of this church, an amazing man. I don't know if you know that he was actually ordained in Central Baptist Church. We did an ordination committee. I was part of that ordination committee. I was scared out of my mind. How do you do an ordination committee with Don Richardson, right? It was an incredible time. But I asked him and I asked other great missiologists, theologians, pastors, why are we still here? After we say yes to Jesus, why don't we just go home to glory? But it all boils down to missions. When I synthesized it, it all boils down to missions. And fortunately, this is Missions Month, and this is a church that is missional. Mark Twain, a great quote from him is, the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you figure out why. And we know why. We already know the answer to that question. We can answer that question robustly in Christ because he has a calling on each of our lives. Knowing our calling gives us stamina, fortitude, the audacity to keep on keeping on. And I hope that through these messages these last few weeks, you can agree with me that we give of ourselves out of gratitude to God for what he has done for us on the cross. We are created on purpose for a purpose. He's given each of us a kingdom fingerprint. Let me see your fingerprints. It's really interesting how unique they are, like snowflakes, like our toe prints. Did you know that? Those are distinct and different as well. So missions isn't cookie cutter or pigeonhole. It's not putting you into a slot. It's God saying, what is your particular kingdom of God gift? Now, last week after the service, we had a wonderful lunch. We were packed out in the fellowship hall, and we were hosted by the International Fellowship and the Women's Missionary Fellowship. And we had a panel of five different missionaries who shared with us. And one of the questions I got to ask them was this very interesting question. Are you ready for this? And this is your homework. How would God describe what you are doing for him? Sometimes we like to think, well, this is what I think I'm doing for God. But in God's words, how would he describe what you're doing for him? So I ask each of us that same question. In what ways are you serving God? And how would he talk about what you do for him? Kind of a fun perspective. Now, serving God always has to start with willingness. And willingness, may I suggest, comes from gratitude. I mentioned this phrase before, but it bears repeating. Our boldness in evangelism, in sharing the good news, is directly proportional to our gratitude for the grace. So again, one of the first things we can celebrate as a church is grateful willingness. God's voice calling to us, central, and we are answering, here we are, in these seats this morning, your servants are listening, send us out. We're on mission with you. Now, by the way, the devil's greatest preoccupation and concern is about willing Christians. He gets really worried about that. I like living in such a way that when I wake up in the morning, the devil goes, uh-oh. And I like living in such a way that my guardian angels are never bored. So I pray that these messages this month have maybe blown up or eliminated cynicism, apathy, reluctance, estrangement, there's that word again, miserliness, and even self-sabotage. And what about that old evil word, skepticism? Anybody here ever been a skeptic? And that's where we have great faith, perhaps, but no expectations. What do I mean by that? Well, God could use me. God could use us as a church to transform this city and beyond. But is he really likely to? Is he really going to use me? Well, I'm here to tell you with authority that God longs to use us for his purposes and for his mission to reach the 257 Victoria Police Department officers who are just a couple blocks away from here, to reach the apartment dwellers, to reach the unhoused, to reach the business leaders, to reach the politicians in our city, and to reach this needy world. We have people in our church who are helping kids get sponsored for Kiwanis camps. We have people running Bible studies for UVic students. We have people hosting visitors for meals at their homes. What is your gift? What is your kingdom role? What are your kingdom fingerprints on? Remember what my mom asked me when she took my pulse and had the deep breath? She said, Jordy, what are you doing with the grace? Now, we get as much out of church as we put into it. And that's the fun part about mission, is just leaning in to mission. Now, we can coast through church. We can put our lives on autopilot, on cruise control, or we can pedal hard. You know, I like cycling. We can pedal hard uphill, up and over the hill, and keep pedaling down the hill. Now, some of you will remember Bernie Willock. Bernie Willock had a real significant part of mentorship in my life. He was on Team Canada. He's one of the best cyclists any of us have ever met. And he would challenge us when we'd go out and train with him. We'd ride up and over the Malahat with him. And he would say, pedal hard up and pedal hard over and pedal even harder down the hill. And that's what wins races. Are you willing to pedal or are you just coasting? Now, why did I call this fourth Mission Sunday Walk On? The number one topic I get asked to speak about as I travel around the world, especially to those in ministry, is resilience. And I ask them, why are you asking me to talk about resilience? And they say, well, because, you know, you're your age and you're still doing this. I said, you just call me old. And they say, oh, no. But they love that I just still have the energy, the enthusiasm, the entheos, the in-God energy to keep doing mission because I love him that much. And Eugene Peterson wrote a great book about this. It's called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Life is a long walk. And get this, it's about walking with people. It's about sharing the journey together, especially with those who are hurting. And man, there's so many hurting people around us. There's hurting people here. We had a beautiful celebration of life yesterday for Alex. I mentioned him earlier. I was awed as I sat here by the compassion so many people shared with him in these past few years. The whole Curry family, Phil and Martha, and so many others who came alongside him to love him beautifully right up to heaven's gate. God bless you as you step into those spaces. Now, you remember my dear friend Maher from Lebanon who came and spoke here last year? I want everybody to learn to say his name because I get all kinds of iterations of it from you guys. So his name is Maher, M-A-H-E-R, Maher. Now, Maher is the National Director of Youth for Christ Lebanon, and as of a few weeks ago, he is now the Youth for Christ, or as you say it in Arabic, the Shabib al-Masi Regional Director for all of the Middle East. Everybody here knows that the Middle East has some challenges, so pray for my brother Maher. Some of you have told me that when he shared here at our church, he made you cry, and I think that's great because God cries for the needs of our world. And by the way, ask me privately later about how you can encourage and connect with him, but I want to give you, if you ask me, I will tell you in private, I can give you the name of a country where just last week, Maher and Youth for Christ opened the first ever youth drop-in center in one of the most dangerous cities on the planet. Now, Maher told me that after the big explosion on the docks in Beirut, do you remember that horrible story? It was a large explosion. Hundreds of global and local agencies went door to door with their clipboards to talk to people, to ask them, what do you need? What did you lose? And people would say, we need clothing, we need a door, we need windows, we need a refrigerator. And Youth for Christ also was part of this. And they went door to door. They went to homes where teenagers lived. Teenagers that were in this bombed out area of Beirut. And they also took the notes. And then they came back with the provisions, often to Muslim homes. And the grateful people would say to the Youth for Christ staff, shukran, thank you. And do you realize that the only people who came back were the Christians? Many people asked us what we needed, but nobody showed up after. But you guys followed up, came through, showed up. And I love that description of Christians walking on. We don't give up. Even when their needs are so great, so overwhelming that we feel like throwing up our hands in despair and saying, there's nothing I can do, I give up. Christians don't give up because God never gives up on us. He never gives up on anybody. So instead, we throw up our hands as funnels of grace to allow him to pour his love through us to needy people. Do you remember when Jesus washed his disciples' feet? It says in the book of John, when he had finished washing their feet. And remember, by the way, he also washed Judas's feet. That's a fun part of the story. We mentioned that on the Unity Sunday. Where else in Scripture do we read the word finished? I'll give you a hint. On the cross. Jesus makes sure the job is finished. Only the Christians followed up. They finished the job. They closed the loop. Marilyn is an amazing leader, and she's a closed-loop leader. She likes wrapping things up with good systems. They finished the job. Jesus finished what he came to earth to do by dying on the cross and rising again. So let me ask a sensitive question to Central Baptist Church. When is Central Baptist Church finished? When are we finished our mission? When none shall perish. When everyone has had an opportunity to make an informed decision to follow Jesus Christ. And no pressure, but when I say everyone, it's everyone in your sphere of influence, wherever you are. And that's the heart of God. Jesus has said to us, I'm building my church. I will build my church. I don't know if you realize that the church is the only organization that God is building. And he's choosing to work through the church. Through us, we are the church to change the world. And Jesus is saying to us, my church, by the way, whose church is this? It's his church. He says, my church, Central Baptist, you are here together with all of the churches of Greater Victoria to make a difference in this city and beyond. Now, over this past year, Marilyn and I have had the privilege of being in town, which is sort of a rare thing. We've traveled a lot, but we've been in town a fair bit. And I've stood numerous times in that foyer right there, and on the sidewalk in front of our church or across the street, or walking blocks around our church with other pastors in this city who are weeping for Central, who are weeping for Pandora, and are weeping for the city. That should encourage your hearts. Central, we're not alone here. There's a body of Christ in Greater Victoria saying, how can we help? My most retweeted tweet on Twitter, say that quickly over and over again 20 times, was collaboration is the next great missiological frontier, and anything less than that is arrogance. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. The church doesn't exist for itself. This church doesn't exist for itself. It exists for the body of Christ, and it exists to change the world. And we can only do that if we work together as the body of Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I was at a meeting in Australia a few years back. Some of you may have heard me tell this story, but it's one of my faves, so I'm saying it again. I was at a meeting in Australia for about 500 teenagers, and they asked me to be the keynote speaker, and I was excited. I was revved up. Teenagers, that's my space. That's what I was called to do. That's why God gave me grace. And so I walked into this meeting, and very suddenly I realized this is a very charismatic meeting. And what I meant by that is lots of energy. I mean, they were dancing in the aisles. The worship was powerful. They were excited about serving God, but it was very charismatic, a little out of my Fellowship Baptist comfort zone. But, you know, God bless them, very respectfully. It was awesome. Teenagers getting excited about God, I love that. And right near the end of my opportunity for me to come up, and this is like a 3 or 4 hour meeting. When you get excited, you need more time, it seems. And so 2 or 3 more hours, and they started shouting, Jesus loves us. And the whole crowd would go, yeah. And then they would say, we love Jesus. And the whole crowd would go, yeah. And they did that over and over and over and over and over again. And now I'm thinking, you know, everything I wrote and prepared, I don't think this is going to work. I need to come up with something a little different. And so then they called me. They said, Jesus loves us. Yeah. And we love Jesus. Yeah. And we've got Jordan Rundle with us. Yeah. And then I'm going up on stage. It's like, oh, you know. And I got up there and I said, Jesus loves us. Yeah, everybody goes, yeah. And I said, we love Jesus. Everybody goes, yeah. And then I had a long pause, like 3-4 seconds, and everybody's kind of leaning, what's he going to do? And I said, wait, I need to cover this up so it's not too loud. Where is it? And I said, so what? Well, it got real quiet. And the youth pastors who were there were like, who is this guy? Who invited this guy? And the guy who invited me is like, whoa, whoa, has he had a stroke in the pulpit? Like, what's going on? And I said, here's the deal. Like, I'm excited. I'm as excited as you guys are about the fact that Jesus loves us. Yeah. And that we love Jesus. Yeah. But so what if we're the only ones who know? If you look in your bulletins, you'll see that beautiful passage. I want you to read it again to yourself. It's part of your homework. How will they hear unless somebody tells them? So how cool that the 500 of us are in here. Wow, yeah, yeah, yeah. But how tragic is it if we never go outside of these walls and say, Jesus loves you? Can we practice that, Central Baptist? 1, 2, 3. Jesus loves you. I hope this question convicts your heart because it always convicts mine. When was the last time you told somebody Jesus loves you? That explicitly. It's 3 little words, but 3 little words that change our lives. One layer of my advocacy role, so I am the global youth advocate, is to care for the diaspora. And Marilyn and I are doing that together. How is anybody excited about that young Mexican drummer we have in there drumming away? I mean, this morning he was on fire. But he wouldn't be here unless Canada was a generous nation. And we're allowing people, and I know there's complexity and there's challenges and there's problems and yeah, yeah, yeah. But we need, I'm going to say it right here, I think we need more immigrants. Canada needs help. They have so much to offer us. And I'm just delighted by all of you from other countries who are in this church. And Marilyn and I have the privilege of serving the diaspora, all those people who live outside of their passport countries. I want to share very briefly a 2-minute video that was done by one of our very best friends, Bill Kugler. He was the pastor of one of the largest churches in the Middle East, over 5,000 people based out of Dubai. And he made this video for us, with us. We've had a lot of conversation with him about it. But I want to encourage us about just one aspect of mission that is coming to us. So if we could show that now, that would be great.
Every 44 seconds, someone moves from their native country to a totally different country in search of safety, a better job, or a better way of life. That's how fast the global expat population is growing. And there are more than 300 million expats in the world right now. If all of us living outside of our home country were a country, we would be the third or fourth largest country population in the world. We are in the midst of the most mobile human population in all of history. We go by many names: expats, migrants, global nomads, foreign nationals, diaspora. But no matter what we are called, we all face the same problem. Expat life is not easy. Many people away from their home countries feel displaced or disoriented, disconnected, and dissatisfied. Indeed, a generation on the move faces challenges, but we also have a grand opportunity. Being on the move is not new to God. He is a God of movement, contextualization, globalization. He is a God on the move throughout the very world he created. The grand movement of God through a massive movement of people excites us. Imagine how God will use his people gathered from the nations to reach all nations. His people carrying his message of hope across borders, across time zones, across cultures, and across languages. His message we share is the good news of Jesus.
When Marilyn shared on that first Sunday, we talked about the good news, north, east, west, and south. Remember what we did there? No matter where we are, no matter what quadrant of the world you've come from, the gospel is good news. So that's Marilyn's role in particular, and to be a redemptive advocate for the almost 50 million teenagers who live outside of their passport countries. And I share this with you so that you can keep praying for the Rendles. That's our ministry around the world, part of it. And I want to thank you as I stand here for commissioning us to go out as your partners on behalf of the gospel, on behalf of Central, and for the glory of God. It is an honor to serve this church. So if you have your Bibles with you, I hope some of you bring Bibles or you have your phones with you. We're going to talk about the road to Emmaus. We talked in this video about a God who's on the move. We're going to tell you a good story about a good walk. But this is a tough story as well. Have anybody in here ever been discouraged on mission? You've been working hard and you feel like you're not getting anywhere. You feel like maybe even you got the story all wrong. And that's what this scripture is all about, on the road to Emmaus. So I couldn't resist, but I had to bring one more hat. I know it's two for this service, but one more hat. What brand is this hat? A lot of you are walkers. You know what this hat is. What is it? It's a Tilly, because we are proud Canadians. It's a Tilly brand. And I researched it a little bit. I love Tilly. This was my Uncle Alan's hat, by the way. How cool is that? Some of you remember my dear Uncle Alan. But Tilly hat is interesting. You know what their tagline is? For the life out there. I thought that's a great tagline for church. We meet in here for the life out there. We get life in here, but we want to take life out there. Don't have anybody asking you, so what, right? It's so that we can be taking abundant life to the people around us. And it also, they also have another tagline, thoughtfully designed for adventure. There's that word again. What are the first six letters? Advent. So one of my favorite walking stories in scripture is Luke 24, 13 to 35. If you have your Bibles, have some fun with this. We're going to annotate it a little bit as we go through it. Depending on how you parse it or cut it out, there are 38 plural pronouns in 22 verses. So over and over and over again in this scripture passage, we are going to see the words them, there, they, the two of them. It just goes on and on. And the punchline about that is we cannot do missions alone. We do it with him, but we do missions in community. So let's read this together. Now that same day, what day was it? Resurrection Sunday. It was resurrection. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And this is how we know the NIV is an American version, right? Because no kilometers in here. In kilometers, it's about 11 and a half, almost 12 kilometers of distance. This gets very important in a minute. And I love that even though their master and Lord and rabbi had just been murdered, they're still listening to his instructions and going out two by two. So they're still together, two by two. They were walking with each other and talking. They were talking about with each other about everything that had happened. What had happened in the last 3 days? Again, their master had been murdered. So I'm here to suggest to you that walking together and talking together is spiritually cathartic. Do you know what catharsis is? It's to help you process things. And they were doing that. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, again, with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with him, with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. I love this. Anybody want to go for a walk with Jesus? He actually promises that he walks with us because he is Emmanuel. Remember, and he walks with me. He walks with us. He's always with us. And he walks with them. And I like the word with. He didn't lag behind. He didn't run ahead. He walked at their pace. Now, that's a crazy thought that the king of the universe let these two guys set the pace. So he walks along with them. They were kept from recognizing him. Anybody ever wondered about that phrase? They were kept from recognizing him. I'd like to suggest that the reason for that is that Jesus was weaning them from his physical presence. They didn't need his physical presence. Obviously, he's with us, but he wasn't walking with them in the flesh, so to speak. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" I love this. By the way, this is rule 101 for missiology and for evangelism, is ask questions first before you preach. Listen first. And it's interesting that this very Lord and King of Kings, who had just died for all of humanity, for all of history, and had just risen from the dead, wasn't telling his story yet. He wanted to hear their story. So he asked a question, he listened, and gave them time to respond. And this next phrase is really poignant. They stood still. Has anybody been so discouraged, so despondent, so despairing, you can't even move? You're almost curled up in a fetal position in your bed and saying, I can't even get out of bed. When my mom was passing away with cancer, I had just done Ironman Canada, and some very well-meaning, precious friends came to me and said, "Jordan, let's go for a bike ride." And I thought, that's a great idea. Let's do it. I couldn't pedal around the block, you guys. I couldn't. I was so demoralized. I was so weak. They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them named Cleopas asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Let's stop here for a minute. I love the fact that a whole city was talking about Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if Victoria was talking about Jesus? And we have an opportunity, guys. I'm going to set this up. Christmas has, for the most part, unless it's Xmas, has the name Christ in it. It shouldn't be that hard to direct a conversation to a point where you can actually say Jesus loves you. And that's what Christmas is all about. And these guys are saying, how is it possible? You didn't know what was happening in Jerusalem. I remember in Buenos Aires, there was a fruit stand. And they had a letter, a sign over top of their fruit. They were selling melons and mangoes. And the sign over top said, "El comentario del barrio," which means everybody in the neighborhood is talking about this fruit. Now, wouldn't it be great if we lived our lives in such a way that everybody in our neighborhood was talking about the Jesus that's in you and me? So they said, is it possible that you don't know what's going on? And then Jesus, bless him, verse 19 says, what things? Again, he gives them an opportunity to share their hurt and to share their heart. Again, this is the one who died for them, the men he's asking this question of, and he keeps his own mouth shut about his own story so he can hear theirs first. And they say about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And this is where they got the story all wrong. They loved him, but their understanding of redemption was political, and they thought redemption meant kicking some Roman backside. And that wasn't the agenda of God. Here's a little tip. Don't try to set God's agenda. He knows what he's doing. And we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What is more, it is now the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. Ladies, I want every lady in this room right now to give me a wave. You are amazing. And God calls you his daughter. And he loves you. And I love that God gives the women the opportunity to be amazing. One of the most amazing leaders I know, I got to marry her. She's an extraordinary leader. The women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Now, it's interesting. That's like five or six verses of a long story there, and Jesus not once does he interrupt them. He lets them vent, lets them process, listening. And then he says to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I'd like to think of it when he says it so lovingly. You remember when Jesus says to Peter, oh, you of little faith? I don't think it's a chastisement. I don't think it's a reprimand. I think it's a disappointed dad kind of comment. Anybody can relate to that when your kids do something really stupid? You're like, duh. I think it's more of that. Like, come on, guys. And Jesus says, how foolish you are, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? How incredible that the Christ he's talking about is himself, and he had to suffer for the two guys he's talking to. And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Obviously, the Old Testament. And I love this focal point on taking people who are mourning, who are despairing, we take them to the Word of God. There's catharsis in the Word of God as we process his promises, because his promises never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that is expressed in the Word. Wouldn't that have been a fun walk? I mean, we're having some fun here with some sermons and preaching, but that would have been catedrático, right? That would have been actually incredible lessons and teaching. And I love that it's systematic theology in the sense that he starts right at the very beginning and goes all the way through and starts pointing, I'm right here, I'm right here, I'm right here, I'm right here. Anybody remember Where's Waldo? Remember those games, Where's Waldo? Well, scripture's like that. Where's Jesus? Any page you turn to in this book, I have a dare for you who think of yourselves as theologians. Find Jesus on any page in scripture. He's there. It's a fun activity to do with teenagers who want to go deeper with the Lord. He is on every page of the book. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. And I love, even in their despair, even in their sadness, they were still hospitable. Isn't that kind of a fun part of the story? One of the best ways to get through stuff is keep serving, as able, obviously. Sometimes you need a break, you need to pace yourself. But these guys want to have Jesus in, and I love this. Notice that the reason they're stopping, they got home, and because it's getting dark, so they try to convince Jesus, stay with us. And then the next phrase, if you want to underline a verse, this is one of my favorite ones. So he went in to stay with them. Does anyone want Jesus to come into your home and stay with you? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wait, what do you mean, wouldn't it be? He is in your home, and he is staying with you if you do what these guys say and say, stay with us. Have you invited Jesus into your home? Remember we talked in the Unity Sunday about sometimes our homes sound and feel like war zones? Well, maybe invite the Prince of Peace into that space. So he went in to stay with them. I love that. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Here is a powerful verse. The bread of life, whose body had just been broken on the cross for us, is now breaking bread for two guys he died for and with them. It's a powerful, powerful moment. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from them, from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning? There's a different kind of heartburn that all of us really want. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us? Oh, to have a walk with Jesus and just talk with him and have him explain scriptures to us on the road. And he opened the scriptures to us. And I love that they don't compare notes. They compared how much their hearts were activated. They're not just, it's not flippant talk. It's profound. What he changed our lives just by walking with us and by unpacking scripture. And then here's one of the punchlines of the story. Once they realized they had been with a risen Savior, it says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. What's interesting about that phrase in this story? Why had they stopped in Emmaus? One, they were home, and they needed supper. By the way, we've talked about Jesus having breakfast. This is him having supper. So Jesus eats regularly, which is good. I know he fasts as well. But why is it interesting that they, as soon as they realize they'd met the risen Savior, they go all the way back to Jerusalem? It's dark. It's 11 and a half kilometers on foot. That's a long way. So they've just done a half marathon. Half of it with Jesus, half of it with Jesus. Right? And they go all the way back. And the first thing they say, they found the 11, those with them, assembled together and saying, what are the first three words they say? Come on, some of you watched. It is true. It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way, and they were called people of the way. Jesus is on the way with us. And how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Do you remember the story of the shepherds? The story of the shepherds when the angels come down and they say, a child is born to you this day. In Bethlehem, you will find him in swaddling clothes. And the shepherds get all excited, and they say, let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And when they had seen him, when they've seen the babe in the manger, what did they do? They went and told everyone what had happened. Here's my question for us, Central Baptist Church, as we leave this missions month and we continue to do mission. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen the resurrected Savior? He made you on purpose for a purpose. He has a specific task for each of us to do. And Central, I think we need to listen to what the author of Hebrews says to us. He says, let's throw off everything that hinders us, all the sins that entangle us. And maybe one of those is disunity, but there's others. And he calls us to run the race, to run back all the way from Emmaus to Jerusalem to say, it's true. Can we practice that? One, two, three. It's true. He's alive. He's alive. And that's how we celebrate mission at Central Baptist Church. We have a message of hope to take to a needy world. God bless you. Be encouraged.
We want to take a moment to thank you for listening, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings in person or online. For more information about who we are and what's happening at the church, visit us online at centralbaptistchurch.ca. Thanks for listening to the Central Baptist Church Victoria podcast.